Chapter 16. A few words, then, on Norfolk. Norfolk has it all, its pastoral life a world away from the colourlessness of its county neighbour. When sneery city people apply the word culture to Norfolk, they usually prefix it with agri, haughty, or it doesn't have any. But if they'd bothered to open their eyes for a second, they'd see how thick they'd just been. We're not just a proud, hard-working people famed for our rich history and political might. We're a liberal bunch with an artistic bent, or better still, artistic leaning. Yep, Norfolk is a cultural hotbed, a heaving, teeming, writhing morass of bodies and brains that is literally groaning with culture, but without the upsetting mental image that that creates. The only writhing bodies you'll find in Norwich are in the backstreet men's clubs that continue to blight parts of the city centre, thanks in full to a Labour-run council. As one of the first county councils to allow library users to access the internet for free, Norwich is in a constant state of download, letting in ideas and influences from all over the world, so long as they respect our way of life and don't expect a free ride at our expense. So what's on the menu, Alan? Well, loosen your belts a couple of notches, put on a head restraint, and allow me to slip a funnel into your mouth and force-feed you a cultural feast that will leave you happy and fat. Take dance. The country's ethnic profile and strict highway code means you'd be hard-pushed to find any street dance here, but Norfolk folk sure like to move. Outsiders would have you believe the only dancers you'll find here are Morris dancers, and while, yes, there are hundreds and hundreds of them, Norfolk's flat terrain means you can spot them from a distance and steer clear if you find them annoying or infantile. Footnote: I happen to love them and will often join in. No, our dance roster is pretty varied. Tap, modern, jazz and disco are still performed creditably and enthusiastically. And I had a brilliant time at a Cayley, brackets Irish hoedown, recently, before we were ejected, as they were selling booze without a licence. If theatre turns you on, swing by one of Norwich's theatres for big-budget touring productions of a play or, for women, a musical. Or venture to an Amdram production in a town civic centre if you prefer your performances louder and slower. Every so often our schools will cancel a weekly step aerobics class and use their hall to host a visiting theatre production about issues or tribesmen. If you get your kicks from tapping your feet to the tuba or timpani, then set sail for Norfolk at your earliest opportunity, because we're ace at orchestras. The Norfolk Phil is what we call the Norfolk Philharmonic Orchestra. We do that because saying Phil instead of Philharmonic Orchestra, we save ourselves time, although by explaining that, I've now lost time, and I'll be honest, that's irritated me. The current season is as jam-packed as ever at the Norwich Phil, with recitals of pieces by composers that readers are unlikely to have heard of. And if that sounds patronising, it isn't. The Phil seems to delight in choosing works by complete unknowns. To my mind, no classical composer can be considered a success until one of his pieces has been used on an aftershave advert. That aside, a night at the Phil still comes highly recommended. And why not team it up with an early dinner at one of Norwich's excellent nosh houses, or restaurants as they're often known? Foodies will be pleased to learn that Norwich offers few of the chain outlets that have come to blight town centres in the rest of the country. Why? Because the people of Norfolk like to do things their own way. We steadfastly say no to the homogenisation of our high streets. Indeed, we have a very successful campaign group that fights tooth and nail, and plenty of other body parts besides, to keep Norwich more or less free of faceless multinational brands. For those interested in getting involved, meetings take place every Friday morning in the Starbucks on St. Stephen Street. Art fans, if any, should take a trip to Holcombe Hall, where the Earl's collection of paintings attracts visitors from far and wide and high. Don't forget to check out the gift shop, where you can probably find some of these works rendered in the form of a tea towel. It's a sad fact that many visitors choose to take home and stain these masterpieces with bacon grease and soap suds, but if it boosts awareness of British art, I'm all for it. Thanks in large part to the work of the National Trust, the UK's most important charity, our county is blessed with a long list of magnificent period buildings. One thinks of the Blickling Estate, Oxburgh Hall, and of course the Horsey Wind Pump, one of East Anglia's best-loved drainage mills. What better way to spend a summer's day than to visit one of these historic sites before parking up in a lay-by to take your warm picnic out of the boot? Perfect. That all said, it's pop and rock music that really put Norfolk on the cultural map. Big-hitting Queen drummer Roger Taylor is from Norfolk, as is Britney prototype Kathy Dennis. Hearsay rocker Mylene Class is from the county. So too is Gorleston-born Hannah Spirit, former S Club 7 singer and someone I'm proud to call a friend. I remember in 1982 seeing a performance by the Ants. It was supposed to be Adam and the Ants, but Adam was stuck in traffic. As they belted out an instrumental version of Stand and Deliver, I remember looking round the packed arena and just shouting, Culture! For a real treat, forget everything you know about folk music and get your backsides down to Boxley Wheatsheaf on the second and fourth Sundays of every month. By day, they're just six guys named Graham, Phil, Graham, Martin, Andrew and Rick, plus sometimes a woman called Caroline. By night, they are Will-o'-the-Wisp. For my money, the cultural highlight of the county. For the ill-informed, WOTW are a witty folk group whose perky musicianship will make you forget about the food, not very good, and make up lyrics that gently mock the regulars. These guys are funny, real groin wreckers, but get there before Phil gets too drunk, as his tipsier lyrics can sometimes cross a line, especially towards women. These cultural nuggets might seem small and insignificant, like so many tiny stones, but pile them up, load them into a high-pressure nozzle, and they will pebble-dash the face of the county of Norfolk. We're also good at poetry. Day four, and I'm strolling through Claydon, still able to taste last night's dinner of cod and ham. Footnote: battered fish and a battered sausage from a chippy. I wend my way down the Norwich Road. It's a narrow road for a town of this size, and the speed of the traffic is slow. I enjoy imagining that I'm walking at the self-same velocity at which my father might have driven. Then I see it. I stop dead in my tracks, quickly open my rucky, search for something and then find it. Takes about 45 minutes. It's one of the receipts I'd found in my father's items. I hold it up so that in my eye line, the words at the top of the receipt sit along those on the sign above a convenience store. I scan left and right, cross-referencing that their names match exactly. They do. Browns. It's where my father stopped for refreshment all those mornings ago, and here I am now. Those refreshments echoing down through time like some noisy time-travelling food. Seconds later, I am in the shop. It appears to be a family-run operation with a good range of produce, plus some pleasing relics of times gone by. A convex mirror high above an aisle where today a security camera would be. A chip-and-pin card machine rather than the contactless variety, which someone once told me can switch off pacemakers. And a window that's used to let in light, rather than merely house posters for providers of cheap foreign calls. I walk in and mooch around, soaking up the history of it all, a wistful smile playing on my dry lips. I'll buy a can of Lilt as well. I find a refrigerator display containing milk, cheese and sandwiches. I'm certain Pops would have bought sandwiches, so I stand there and just look at them, and now I'm caressing them, my hands gently touching these bread and spread snacks, as if they're my late father's fingers and mouth. "Can I help you?" A man in his 30s is manning the shop. I tell him that I'm just reminiscing about my father, who'd have come here 51 years ago on the 15th of September 1965, and would love to hear his memories of that day. The man sighs and shouts, "Dad!" then goes out the back to fetch him. I wait eagerly for a few seconds, keen to gain an insight into what this journey must have been like for my father all those years ago. But when Dad emerges, followed by his son, he's holding a rounder's bat and wants to know if I'm the C-word who keeps robbing the sandwiches and why. I assure him I've never been here before, offer to leave and agree that no, I can't have some Lilt and anyway, it's stealing. I leave with a flea in my ear, I don't mind saying. Still, I think as I jog off down the Norwich Road, good to paint a bit of colour on this sepia-tinted journey of yesteryear.